Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith, our first post-Christmas edition of our show. First of all, Dustin, how was Christmas?
Survived it. Is a good starting point. So I'm here alive and kicking, so that's good. We had a nice day, nice time, nice simple time. Early in the morning, up, all the presents and all that. So, but yeah, it's such a grind anymore to get to that day that getting to the 25th is almost like a sigh of relief the older you get.
And it should be noted, you have a young daughter, so it's about taking care of her, Dusty.
Yeah, and I got to say that I got air a grievance. I got her much better presents than she got me. And I have kind of a problem with that, but, you know, I'm a selfless dad, so I put it behind me already.
What a guy, Dusty. All right, let's move on to our Penn State news. Let's start with this. The team has arrived in Tampa, and just their arrival alone creates some news. First off, we've been talking like everybody else has about a few of the players, one of those being Rashid Walker, tackle, offensive tackle, and wondering if he would play. Would he opt out? Is he going to go to the draft? Well, the first thing we found out, he was with the team, but he was also on crutches. Explains a lot, doesn't it?
It does. And maybe it makes more questions than answers, I suppose, at this point. But we can kind of say, you know, Mark Brennan, by the way, from Lions 247, is the best at this. When he's parked outside the team building, you know, the football building, or he's parked for the team arrival, you just by seeing who's there and who's not, you get a gauge. And the Rashid Walker popping up on crutches was a little bit of a surprise, but here we are. We're in a situation where, you know, less than a week before the Outback Bowl, we still don't have any form of confirmation or opt out or whatever from a bunch of guys, which I know we'll get to. And obviously all season long, we don't hear anything about injuries. So this is like the Bermuda Triangle. This is all the boxes you need to check for Penn State uncertainty combined here with Rashid Walker. So we can assume we won't see him, for the Outback Bowl. And we can assume that, you know, the young guys we've been circling, you know, for a couple weeks now, that'll be their time. So, in a way, it's good to get some confirmation. I would suspect, you know, barring something super serious with whatever is putting him on crutches, that we won't see Rashid Walker back in 2022. But this is an interesting little twist on that.
It sure is. And who knows? Maybe he will be back, and it's just the injury. And you're right. Kudos to Mark Brennan. He does a great job getting and had a whole series of pictures. It was fantastic. So we appreciate the work that Mark does. There was some other information. Now, the team flies in from State College. They come in as a team, everyone who's available. But some of the players who are from out of the area with Christmas break, they got a chance to go home. So separately, say the Michigan guys flew in separately. The couple players from Florida who were down there, of course, aren't going to come back to State College, then back down there again. But notable by their absence were a few players, round up the usual names that we've been talking about. Jahan Dotson, Jaquan Brisker, Arnold Ibikiti, and Derek Tangelo. So there's nothing official that they're out, but it probably says a lot that they weren't on the team flight.
There's enough other factors here that you can't draw a 100% conclusion from this. But that select group of players just happens to be the one that everybody's watching for. And that group has, you know, is not part of these arrivals that are happening in different stages, as you mentioned. So you can't say for sure, but it certainly looks like they'll be without these four players for the Outback Bowl. Something that I think everybody was kind of gearing up for. And, you know, I mentioned before, just I was wondering if maybe one or two of them might want to play a series or two, just to kind of put that exclamation point on things. But you kind of can't blame any of these guys for focusing their energies and their efforts and trying to stay healthy and trying to preserve maximum value for the draft coming up this spring. And it's just, it's very interesting to me that, you know, two of them are players who spent one season at Penn State. So looking for transfer portal stamp of approval that they evaluated and they got guys they liked and they got guys that they could help develop. Well, there you go right there. And it's going to certainly help their free agency pitch coming up this winter and spring that, look, we got these guys that were far from certain coming out of Duke and Temple and Tangelo and Ebiketie's situation. And look what we did with them. And, you know, they got to a point where they're skipping the bowl game and they're preparing for the draft. So I think as much as you would love to see those guys make an impact in this game against Arkansas, it's a good thing for them that they're legitimate NFL draft prospects.
It is, but this whole players opting out of bowl games, and we're seeing it all over the place. I mean, Kenny Pickett, Pitt wins a, you know, conference championship for the first time in how many years. He was a Heisman finalist, and he's not playing in their New Year's Day bowl game. That says something, and it's a discussion for the offseason, Dusty. Write it on your notes. One of our topics we're going to talk about this is, you know, is that an issue? Does it need to be fixed? And if so, how could that fix happen? Anyway, so moving forward, there is some other news. As we were talking about Christmas, Penn State got itself a nice little wide receiver present under the tree. Very good wide receiver from Western Kentucky, Mitchell Tinsley, 6 foot, 180 pounds, had a huge year in this past season. And lo and behold, he's transferring into Penn State. Is that just the beginning of what we're going to see from the transfer portal?
Yeah, in both directions. You know, Penn State has been among the more quiet teams, I think, when it comes to acquisition and loss. And there's a pretty good list of guys that could be candidates to exit. And I'm sure there will be some arrivals, too. But Mitchell Tinsley is a nice first domino to fall. You know, you wonder, obviously, Arnold Ebiketie and to a lesser extent, Derek Tangelo, you know, made a jump in competition level and they thrived in that jump. So Mitchell Tinsley is a similar case to Arnold Ebiketie in that I don't think he had a whole lot more to do or to prove at that level at Western Kentucky. So why not try your hand at a situation that's, you know, ultimately, and we'll look at this later in the show, the wide receiver depth chart is pretty wide open for the taking in terms of what role he could play and what kind of work he can do. And, you know, first of all, he made the jump from Hutchinson Community College, which I believe is in Kansas. He's a kid from Missouri. He makes that jump to Western Kentucky, a little quiet in that first season as he plays, you know, maybe a more of a reserve role there, and then was huge this year, 87 catches, 1,402 yards, 14 touchdowns, and the stretch all through the bowl game, you know, it was just touchdown after touchdown, and, you know, had a 198-yard game, just a lot of work that he did there, and, you know, I think the Penn State staff had to have felt good about him, you know, with what he's shown and what he's done. He's, you know, he's obviously not a huge guy. The Western Kentucky website has him at 6'1", 205, but he plays big. You know, he's a guy that's hard to bring down, more of a not a possession guy, but just a big-bodied kid who plays that way. And I think where he fits in the depth chart is pretty much perfect, because if you assume Parker Washington is your number one, then I don't know, where can he slot in? Maybe number two? But I think as he's done as much as you could hope for a guy at that level, and it kind of a splashy addition. You're obviously losing Jahan Dotson, so why not?
And again, it's a different level at Western Kentucky, but they actually played a couple Big Ten teams this year. I think they had Michigan State and Indiana on their schedule, so it's not like he's never played against this caliber of defense. So it'll be interesting to see where he slots in. And as you mentioned, little precursor, we're going to look at the wide receiver position in our next segment. A little bit more news we've had in the last week or so since you and I've been together, Dusty. And one item is Joey Porter Jr. has announced he will be back for 22. forget all the jokes about the pass interference calls. This is a very good development for Penn State.
It is. I think other than that you know, the 4 or 5 game closing stretch where he just had this habit or tendency get exposed. I mean, you look at obviously the physical skills, the long arms, the ability to kind of turn and run, the long frame, you know, ball skills, the competitive approach that he has. You know, he's a pretty, you know, intense competitor out there, kind of like his dad was back in the day. And so it's a really nice combination of things. And you know, I think Penn State losing Tariq Castro Fields, it would have hurt bad if Joey Porter Jr. would have opted to explore the draft as a redshirt sophomore. But I think this is a really good thing for him to come back and build on those skills. And if he can put together 12 games of more flawless film, he's going to be a much better, more appealing draft prospect too. And I think, you know, the cornerback room, which we will not discuss in depth on this show, I'm sure we will later. You know, Daquan Hardy presumably back, Kalen King presumably back, Johnny Dixon, Marquise Wilson, Cam Miller's joining the fold from the 2022 class. You've got some young guys there. It's a pretty good group once again, where obviously Tariq Castro Fields moving on doesn't help, but they've got an anchor there. They've got, you know, a few different candidates to play bigger roles. Your top two or three look like they're pretty well proven. So it's a good group, and I think Joey Porter Jr. is a huge addition to it.
And you also have it comparable to like the safety position, where a year ago Brisker coming back gave you that solid guy you were sure of, and then who's going to be number two. The other thing is Jair Brown fairly recently also announced he's coming back next year, which feels like this year. He's this year's version of Brisker, you know, coming back at that safety position. Same thing at cornerback. If they had lost both starters, you would have thought, hey, there's an issue there. But having him back, it's easier to fill in one of those positions than it is two, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. And then you have some different candidates. I mean, maybe you like the role that Daquan Hardy's been playing. You don't ask him to change that much. Kalen King, we saw him in the last 3, 4, 5 games really make good on all the promise that we had heard about him through the spring and into the summer. So it's a good group, and maybe they make another addition to it by the portal. Maybe not, but I don't think there's a whole lot of urgency to assess that. And, you know, I don't anticipate anybody's moving on to safety from this group, but that'll be an interesting thing to follow, as it always is this offseason. But good depth, and you know, it would have hurt that effort to not have Joey Porter Jr. back. So I think a really good, mutually beneficial decision for him to return.
It definitely. And also Jonathan Sutherland announced he was coming back. And again, I know he's a bit of the backup role, but remember, he could play safety. He could also play linebacker for you. And he's obviously a veteran. He's a guy who's been around long enough, seen it all, done it all. So that's probably very good news also. Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. Quarter number two, we will be talking about that wide receiver room. Stay tuned.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.